Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the Inspire Health podcast. And joining us today is Kaya Usher. And Kaya is going to help us understand the role of frequency in a lot more detail. We've talked about this a few different times in the past, but I wanted to get her perspective on this specific idea of frequency and what that means from a more larger perspective when we're talking about health and wellness and how it affects our overall life. Kaya grew up in a traditional family in Toronto, Canada. She went to university, fell in love with her husband, Gord Downie, at 20 years of age. Those of you who aren't familiar with Gord Downie, Gord Downie was the lead singer for The Tragically Hip, which was a absolutely iconic Canadian band. So I think almost everybody in Canada knows The Tragically Hip and Gord Downie very well. And I think we followed that journey. I think all of Canada, followed the journey that went through with Gord. They got married and had four amazing children. His career took off beyond their wildest dreams, and life got very busy and very full. In her 40s, Kaya discovered frequencies following a major health challenge and the loss of Gord. It was then in the depths of grief that she learned how to harness frequencies to shift her life and the lives of others. Her deepest desire is to help others find the truth of their brilliance. She recently debuted her first album, All This Is, as well as her first book, The Simplicity Platform, Harness the Power of Frequencies to Shift Your Life. And this is what we're going to dive into today. So Kaya, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. It's awesome to be here.
It's great to chat with you. When I went through your book, which I think is really wonderful, it really is a great template. And as I'm going through, I kept saying to my wife, this is really, you talk about the tenets, and we'll go into those in a little bit, but you really break things down in a way that I think people need. You know, we talked about just before this pillars. People need certain pillars to be able to create some structure, you know, a little bit of loose structure to then follow through with. Otherwise, I feel like there's so much information out there. It's easy to get sort of sidetracked and you don't really know where you are and you get lost a little bit. So I really appreciate in your book that you kind of break down a bit of a step-by-step process, and which helps people kind of keep them anchored into their body as well.
Yeah, exactly. And it's a really, I mean, it's a simple book, but it's a really, I think it's a really powerful book. And also we have examples, like we have people for each tenet talking about how they shifted. And I think that's really important too, for people to hear another person talking about it besides myself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that always helps for sure. Yeah. Kaya, can you share a little bit about your story as far as that helped you arrive at the work that you do and ultimately writing the book, The Simplicity Platform?
Yeah, so I was always, I would say like an intuitive young, like actually all children to me are very intuitive. So I always knew there was more to life, but I didn't quite understand frequencies in the way that what opened up to me in my 40s. So Gordon and I got married. We wanted a big family. We had four beautiful kids. We had a farm in Prince Edward County. You know, our kids had a really idyllic life. They would milk our neighbor's cows. They would come home with rosy cheeks. They would be drinking the cow's milk right from the, you know, the milking. It was just so idyllic, right on Lake Ontario. And for 25 years, you know, I bought organic food. I did all those things. I was careful about the water. I did all those things. And yet I got sick. You know, I had the beginning stages of breast cancer in my early 40s. But along with that, you know, I went through a period where I was really not sleeping. I was starting to wake up at night. And for a really long time, about a year and a half, I would say, I didn't sleep. And I feel like it was like everything was starting to crash in on me, Kaya. There's got to be more going on here. My friends were all getting sick. I had lots of girlfriends that were getting breast cancer. And I was like, what is going on? And so in the time I was diagnosed with early stage of breast cancer, I had surgery. And shortly after that, probably a couple months after that, I was coming out of the shower and I, you know, you're really relaxed in the shower. And I just looked down at my chest and I was like, what happened, Kaya? Like, basically, like, what on earth happened that would cause you to become sick like that? And then all of a sudden, I just started going back in time. And I saw like my arms and my hands changed, and I could smell the forest. And I felt like I was looking into past lives. Everything was opening up beyond the matrix. And I was going, holy crap, I am so much more than this human experience. And then from that moment forward, I would call that, you know, that was my start of my awakening. And I started seeing things, hearing things, understanding when I would look at people, I could see like heavier frequencies, and we're going to get into that. But I would look at them and someone would be walking down the street and I could see that their thyroid, they were getting thyroid issues, or men were getting prostate issues, or women's breasts were
fibrocystic.
That's it. So I started seeing all this stuff and I'm like, oh my goodness. So everything started opening up for me, but that was my jumping off point. So, you know, a lot of people do get sick and then that is their kind of switch that gets turned on. And what I love now is you don't have to get sick. Like, that's why I'm here. It's like, you don't actually have to do that. Like, that was kind of a clunky way for me to open up. But so now I decided, well, why don't I help people in a way that it can be more seamless and it doesn't have to be quite as extreme.
Mm-hmm. I think that's really important because we've talked to a few different people too that have kind of talked about in the same lines and very much tied to frequency, different ways of looking at it, but very much around the same idea that, you know, we were just talking to Guy Needler who's written several books, and we talked to him and he talked to similar, you know, purity of food is a part of it, but I mean, I see a lot of people that eat really healthy that still end up with a lot of problems. And so how he explained it too was more like it's purity of living in all aspects to what that means. And as we'll kind of go through, a part of that is where you're really connecting to and where that I think ultimately our directions on how we even live our lives are connected to, because that's coming from a place of purity that I think sets a stage up for us to really not dive so deep into these different areas of illness. It's like they're not so necessary.
Yeah, exactly.
When you mentioned stepping out of the matrix a little bit, so from your perspective, and I know you mentioned this in the book, but the manufactured matrix of illusion, can you share a little bit or shed a little bit of light on what exactly is the manufactured matrix of illusion that I think for the most part we're probably all engaged in?
Yeah, so I see it, I use the word programming. So where we come from, so our origination, so creator, where we all come from, those fractals. So all of us are in our perfection. And then we splintered away. And all of a sudden, as we moved away, each and every one of us, so like I consider us all brothers and sisters here on planet Earth, we splintered away from our creator and started in that space. We started filling in with programs. So we started filling in, this is how our family celebrates this holiday. This is how our family works with religion. This is how our family eats. This is how our family thinks. This is how our family shares, you know, everything started coming in. And then this is how our society. So another program, this is how our school educates us, another program. All of a sudden we become bombarded, what I call the matrix. So we've lost that connection to creation. I actually see it as it's like a frequency fence that surrounds this time space matrix that, if you don't know that you can go beyond there because you're so programmed, you stay in this space thinking this is all there is. And so you live your life thinking that everything you're told or everything that your family, that is just truth. Well, that's just a very small piece of actually truth. The truth is that we're never ending, that we are, when we leave that frequency fence, when we go beyond, we can see that we are pure health. We are vitality. That's our birthright. So, you know, I think most people, we don't even know that we're running programs until we start to pull back and start seeing, being the observer and thinking, why do I act like that? Why do I say those things? Why do I put myself in positions where I'm with, you know, toxic relationships? Why am I doing this? Well, the fact is something's been compromised in your space, and something, you've got programs or distortions that are running in your frequency. What I call that sphere that you generate, there's something going on there that shouldn't be there.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think that we don't even realize, well, what we realize is we are living in a certain way and we don't really understand exactly that there's so much more beyond that, but we've got so conditioned to just, you know, and it's the conditioning through everything. I think from early on, just from even being born into, gosh, you could go back to even saying even being born in with certain zodiac signs, and then like what we've been brought up with from society and culture and family and all of the different things. good or bad doesn't really have anything to do about it necessarily, but I think it's limited and it's not really true.
Yeah.
And you know, what we've talked with some other, some guests around too, is the idea that if that is what we think is true, and then if we are living our life according to that based as truth, and it's not, then we're kind of always setting the stage up for the blueprint of our cellular body to literally be get receiving information from something that is not ultimately true. So it kind of sets us up for disease if we're just living in a way that is in accordance with things that are not ultimately true.
Exactly. And depending on the frequency you're resonating, so the lower frequencies would be, you know, fear, grief, depression, anxiety, sorrow, you know, jealousy, all of those are lower frequencies. And then as you clean up, so that's what we're going to talk about a little bit. As you clean up that, your inner world, you get into vitality, you get into compassion, unconditional love, grace, you know, deep humility, you get into the really good stuff. And then you just are health, because you have to be, because your blueprint is so clear. It just, it's a natural state for you. That is our natural state, actually. It's not the other way around.
You know, one of the tenets we used to talk about in naturopathic medicine was the idea of the vis in the body, the vis medicatrix natura, this natural healing ability of the body. And for the most part, if untouched, it does a good job at taking care of everything, which is very much connected to living in a way that's in accordance with nature, from a larger perspective, not just going into nature, that's part of it, but kind of living according to a natural laws almost. And most of the problem is it's not that that's the problem. It's all the stuff that gets in the way that's sort of causing you to not be able to access it so clearly. And I think that reminded me a lot of when we go through the tenets, because the first tenet on there is, as you mentioned, clean up your space. So maybe we'll jump into the tenets a little bit and you can explain what you mean by some of this, and we can kind of work through some of these ones a little bit.
Yeah, so to me, the first tenet of the eight, clean up your space, is the most important. I mean, they're all important, but if your space isn't clear, how are you going to become your brilliant self? How are you going to ride the truth wave? It's not going to happen for you, because we have to get to a space where you feel that your vessel is clear enough that you can actually start, your awareness can start growing. So it's back to what we talked about. We naturally, when we come into the world, we are holding a lot of, we're holding the DNA of our ancestors. Like if you go, and when I work with people, I can scroll back and look at them and then all their ancestors. And so if they have addiction in their family, I can see that it was like something happened. It could be 11 generations ago, your grandfather, he had a trauma and something started generating in his field, generating this frequency of addiction. So maybe he went to drinking back then, because it was a while ago, you know, so he was a drinker. And then all of a sudden, you know, it's just bleeding through the family genetics in the DNA. And so people will say, I don't even know why I'm doing this. And the fact is, it's not even theirs. It's something that came in because of, you know, the DNA, the structure of the DNA was passed down. And we show that now in epigenetics. It's a real thing, right? So when I work with people, I teach them how, and that's a really important thing, is it's about you doing it. So I teach you how, I help you understand how to clear out your DNA, how to flush through your systems, how to clear out your blueprint. So the frequencies that are distorted or compromised that weren't even yours to begin with, because none of them actually were yours to begin with, because you in the beginning were clear. So something's happened that they've come in. So we have to clear a large majority. We don't clear everything out, because that's not actually possible. If we're going to be human, we are going to be generating frequencies. We're not going to be just pure. We're going to have stuff going on, but we can go really far with this. We can become really, really clear. So that initial stage, we clear out the baggage, you know, that distortion. And so all of a sudden you go, whoa, I feel lighter. Like people will say, I just feel lighter. I feel clearer. I feel more at peace. And I'll say, that's actually you. That's you. So the other part, when you felt anxious and fearful and depressed, that just shows you that there was something in there that shouldn't have come in. And it was most likely, you know, it could be yes, from these experiences now. So we all, everybody, and that's another thing, like everybody does have trauma. It doesn't matter where you're from in the world, you know, your age, stage, color, you know, your wealth or not, everybody brings in that some form of trauma in their life, like, because we're generating the frequency of trauma. So we're going to pull that towards us, and then we'll do things that probably, you know, aren't the best in our lives. So we have to clear your field initially, get you reset in a higher frequency, and give you the tools to hold that frequency. It's one thing to just know and then drop away from it. You want to be able to hold that structure. So vitality is just your way of life. That lightness of being is your way of life. So it takes a little bit of practice at the beginning. And that's why we run through the tenets over and over again, because each time you run through them, you clear more, you clear more. And it's a never ending process, actually.
It's like moving. It's like every time you move, you kind of, as we've done many times, and you kind of get a little less and a little less. And eventually you can almost pack everything you've got in your Honda Civic and drive to your next house. So
exactly. Yeah, that is, that's life.
When you're talking about actually cleaning up your space, then what would be an example of some of the things that might get cleaned up? And is this tying in with like your physical space, like when we actually get rid of stuff that we don't need in the house? Is this talking about inner space, and what does that actually mean to clean it up, you know, or to,
yeah. So that's amazing, because it's both. Like what I find is that, like, I had one client, the first time I worked with her, she said, I don't know what happened. I spring cleaned my entire house after we worked together. And what that is when you clean up your inner world, you want your outside world to be a mirror back to you of what you've done inside. So I find that, like, my house is very, very simple. There's not a lot of extra stuff, because there's not a lot of extra stuff inside me anymore. So you have to start with the inner work. And then what you see is that your outer world starts reflecting back to you who you've become because of the choices you've made. Yeah.
In general, why is it trickier for people to sort of feel and stay in some of these higher frequencies? Why do we keep getting pulled back down? And what's been the role of the sort of collective experience of humanity on our own individual ability to traverse the frequencies?
Yeah, so that is what I see and talk about all the time, because it's one thing to, you know, feel that heavenly space inside of yourself, but it's another thing to have the discipline and focus and really tenacity to hold that structure. And so that's why, you know, I've created spaces for people to come together and basically hold each other's hands, because a lot of the world is still working in the constructs of the matrix, that, you know, everything they're told, they just think it's true, and they just march along, you know, unknowingly into things that might not be the best. So we want to be able to hold that structure. So it really is about you let go of what isn't you. And then you trust that feeling of, I'm actually feeling better. So you hold that trust, and you don't let someone come along and say, no, you know, that's not true. That can't be, you know, you're crazy. What's wrong with you? All that stuff. You know, you kind of get attacked, actually. When the freer you become, the more people don't like you in a way that, you know,
it's
that
very
are still,
true. It's very true.
Yeah. That unfortunately, but you know, that also is not their fault. They just haven't opened that space up for themselves yet, and they will. So that's the good news, is that's coming for them. But, you know, it's really important. So we let go, and then we trust the process, and we hold that trust in our heart. This is really a heart space that we're working from. It has really nothing to do with the head. We hold that trust and that patience, and also that discipline. So we know things, you know, that are going to help us, even though the outside world is going in this direction. What helps me? Nature really helps me. You know, a few really good, pure friendships, that really helps me. Animals. My house is filled with animals, you know, beautiful water. We know those things, but you, in the process, it's like we let go, we trust more, and we fill our life. It doesn't matter what other people are doing. We fill our life in that time of trust with things that are going to keep us stable, because there's a lot happening right now.
A lot. And I think a lot's more to still keep happening for a while.
Yeah.
So,
oh yeah.
But I think that's really important. And we'll get into to trust and truth in just a moment here too, because I think those are really vital. One thing you talked about though was with the frequencies and with the DNA and the genetics. And you know, I remember being at a course with Dr. Peter Levine, who does somatic experiencing. Mm-hmm. He's one of the main trauma therapists in the world. And he was working with a group of indigenous, an indigenous family who had been through, I mean, probably some of the most horrific abuse I think most people can imagine, some of that culture has experienced. And what was really beautiful to see was that as he was going through, and he literally sort of healed, and it healed not only the lineage ahead of him, mm-hmm. because that pattern was now broken, it wasn't going to get passed down to their kids. He said it also healed the lineage behind them. So it healed his ancestors. Mm-hmm. It almost gets me welled up when I think about it, because it was really so beautiful. And to think, you know, what's really fascinating when you start to look in the way the world, when we talk about things from a quantum physics perspective and time and space, and these things are a lot more malleable and not so linear than we think they are. So when we connect to anything that is really connected to like beauty and to truth and whatnot, the ripples that go out, I think, transcend space and time that we can't even really fathom the degree that it does. And other than it's just a felt sense, and being in that room when that happened, the entire room was in tears and just felt it. So it makes me think about that, because I think you talked a little bit about lineage in your book too, that when we do this work, it goes well beyond ourselves.
Yeah. And even, you know, an example would be, I was working with a young man in his 20s who had a serious addiction issue with drugs and alcohol. And his mother got in touch with me. I never worked with the son, and I hadn't worked with the son personally. I just worked through the mother with the son. And she said, it's so fascinating. My mother, so the son's grandmother and the mother, they said their cravings for alcohol were just gone. So their cravings for alcohol were gone working with the son. And so the son felt relief around the addiction, but it rippled through the family. And so this son that did have a young child, we would also disconnect that for the child. So it's exactly what you just talked about. The waves go out through everything. And I've had, you know, clients that talk about, well, I feel good, but my husband's even doing better. Like, the husband has nothing to do with this work. He's thriving. What the heck is going on that he's changing? So that's the ripple effect. You know, the higher the frequency, the stronger the wave, and the stronger the cleanse, and the stronger the connection. So it does affect everything.
Mm. I literally picture them as attractor fields. Like they're a large field of consciousness. And so when you move from a smaller constricted field of consciousness to a larger, more expanded one, you run into tons more possibilities to influence your life in different ways. That field resonates or not with other people around you. So it's like there's so many more possibilities just by stepping into these different frequencies.
Yeah, exactly.
One thing you talked about too under that same tenet with clean up your space was choosing yourself. And this is a really important one, because I would say most people have kind of been taught that choosing their self is greedy. And in some ways it can be if done in certain parts, but what do you mean by that? Because this is one I would say particularly I see in clients that are moms. Yeah. I find a lot of times moms put themselves on the very bottom of the totem pole when it comes to the family dynamics, and they have often a hard time like choosing themselves. Can you explain what you mean by that and why it's so important to be able to do that?
Yeah, so that was exactly me. Exactly. So we had four kids. You know, super busy life. I was the helper type with all the friends. I can help you. I can do it. Don't worry. Gord, my husband, he was away a lot, like a lot, you know, 9 months of the year, he would be gone. So I was like carrying a heavy load, and I was the type, like, I'm a doer, but all of a sudden that's when I got hammered and I got sick, because, and that's when I realized like, girlfriend, you got to stop, drop, and actually get yourself in position here, or you're not actually going to be here to be with your children. And so it was actually the least selfish thing I could do, was take the time for myself, really get to know why I got sick, what was going on, and then how to turn that around and actually be a true leader and a true helper that only makes me stronger and makes me more peaceful and joyful in my life. And it, like, the cup runneth over from that position. It really, like, it's a generating position from strength as opposed to depleted. I was really depleted. It isn't selfish. And I know exactly that feeling, but you know, some of us, like, we have to get hit over the head. And that was me for sure, because, you know, like the ever ready battery. And a lot of mothers are like that, but it was the greatest gift I could give to my family and to my friends actually was to find myself.
Yeah. Well said. Well, yeah. I think you mentioned that you felt then overflowing, right? And when you're overflowing, then you've got a lot to give everybody else. When your cup's at the bottom, there's not a whole lot to even give. And what I usually mention to people to kind of as like a self-check on it is things that might normally fill you up to be able to do starts to feel a little bit more like obligation or resentment, or you're feeling more burnt out in the process. I think that's usually a line where, okay, you need to start to put yourself a little higher up on the totem pole and take care of that first. Because sometimes stuff that we normally would do to help, you know, usually fills you up when you've got a pretty full cup. But when it's not, there's just nothing to give. So it starts to feel very different over time.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's go into the second tenet. So ride the truth. So what is truth from your perspective?
Love it. So there is the truth and there is your truth and my truth. So Joe's truth, walking down the street, I meet him on the sidewalk. His truth is seen through the lens of the frequencies he's generating. How much baggage does he have in his inner world? What are his programs? What are his distortions? What is the lineage? That's how he sees the world. So when he looks out and he speaks his truth, it could be very different than your truth or my truth. Now, the truth, and that's where ultimately we all want to get to and where we want to operate from, is that all-knowing space. So some people call it God, creator, you know, the universal intelligence, whatever we want to call that. That's where the truth exists. It's where everything exists. It's where all possibilities are. It's where the past, the future, everything exists. So in there is everything. And it is raw and it is real and it is non-judgmental. And so that is the truth. And, you know, nobody really is operating in the truth, but we can get very close to that the clearer we become. And then when we speak our truth, it'll be closer to the truth.
Mm-hmm. I think I remember interviewing Paul Selig, and he said once there's the truth and then there's opinions, and kind of the idea around that. And it might feel very much our truth, and we're kind of living within that at that time. But I like the picture too of it being literally like the lens that you see the world. So, you know, if you're in a state of, say, fear or a frequency of fear, then you see a fearful world. And that feels very real to you, but that's kind of how you see it. If you are in a place of anger, then you see an angry world. You know, it's sort of in it, and that shapes our view of almost everything. This is where, when you hear those things where when you change your inner world, your outer world automatically changes. It does, because you put on a new set of glasses and all of a sudden you see it very differently. It can be exactly the same situation too, but you see it differently. And this is what I think is so beautiful about it, is like, you know, you change something inside and nothing outside has to change. You just now have a very different relationship and experience with it. And it feels totally different.
Well, and you know, I hear people say, and this happened to me, is that when I cleaned up my inner world, grass was greener, flowers were brighter, food tasted better. I could smell things more. Like, my senses just came so alive and everything was in magnification, but it wasn't in magnification. That actually is what it always was. I just wasn't seeing it. in that higher resolution. And, you know, the other thing is my eyes were really in poor, like I had a really strong prescription. And when I cleaned up my inner world, my eyes upgraded and now my eyes are perfect again. And so I'm actually seeing things. And I think back then I just didn't want to, it was painful for me to see people being hurt and people living in the world in ways that was harming. And so I think I started, you know, unknowingly shutting down my eyesight. But when I went through that awakening, I'm like, no, I want to see everything now. I want to see it. So that became there for me too. So it's just so amazing. Our senses are here for us to enjoy, but a lot of the time we dim them down as well.
Yeah, I think very much. I remember seeing that often play out in clinic. Or even seeing problems like I remember one patient that had really traumatic abuse that had been blocked right off. Mm-hmm. And he was getting cataracts and floaters that were literally obscuring his vision to the point that he could not see very well at all. And when that realization actually surfaced from sort of the unconscious, it literally spontaneous mm-hmm. came up. Then when he was working with it, a lot of that stuff started to kind of clear up on its own. I mean, he was at a point where he was actually willing to see it and then work with it. But I'm always astounded at how the body plays out with all of these things.
Yeah, exactly.
You also talked about in the book, frequencies move in wave form. Can you explain that as far as when we are navigating this sort of work, when we are riding the truth, what does that mean by it moves in wave form? How does that show up as far as for us to practically work with what's coming up?
Yeah. So the way I see it, so when like frequencies are really its own language, it is like a technology when I sort of tap into people. So what we want to do, and really this is about becoming so present. So present in your body, locked in to your heart. So you're in your body. Your body can only heal when you're present, right? So a lot of people are thinking about the past or they're worried about the future and they're literally askew. Like when I look at them, they're not clicked in and present in time and space. So the more present you become by cleaning up your inner world, you become more and more and more, like literally so present that it's just a focal point right there. And as you become present, these waves start rippling out of your field. And the degree to which you are locked into presence, that focal point of who you are, the stronger the waves ripple out through your field. So you could be walking down the street and you could your wave of your pure presence could be helping people that are five blocks away because you're generating purity, pure presence, and something like the trees will feel you, the animals will feel you in the neighborhood, you know, the birds might come closer. So it's actually a simple technology that you clear up so you can get really present. So it's in the heart space. That's the generating station, is the heart. The head is important for tasks and stuff like that, but we do everything from our heart actually. And so the more present, the higher power, refinement of the wave that can move through all things.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
What are some of the ways that you connect more into presence? And for people that do, because I would say like a lot of people right now, it's like they're caught up in a lot of thoughts. I mean, really the energy is all up here in the head for the most part. It's thinking, it's planning, it's trying to figure out, it's worrying. It's how do I keep everything held together? From that place, where do you begin to try to connect back to that feeling of presence?
Yeah. So they're actually all simple things and they're all free, you know? So it's like, for me, I just started doing really simple body scans. Like I literally, and that's actually how I found my breast issue was doing these body scans. I really started getting into the cellular level. So our breathing, you know, we get really understanding like the coming in through the nose and right into the lungs, and we get into the rhythm of that. Doing body scans, being in nature, sitting under a tree and getting really connected, imagining your hips going into the root system of this forest that you're sitting in or the tree, and getting really grounded with the earth. The earth is perfect because it is in time. It is present. So you want to be in nature as much as possible. And if you can't be in nature, like sometimes if I'm in a hotel room, I'll put on a video of, you know, the northern lights or something that will take me, or watching, you know, an eagle's nest in real time, something that will take me into real time, into nature. Music, I dance a lot. Like I found that when I was going through my awakening process, I was using my body like a tuning fork. And so I'd put on really music that I loved, and I would literally dance the frequencies off of me. Like I got so focused in, that doesn't belong, that's fear, you don't belong in me. And I'd fling it off of me through dancing. Like there was a lot that music, I sing, like I open up my throat, I release things through my voice. There's no end. Our bodies are the tools. We are like, we're completely intact to be able to do it. And it's actually very joyful. You know, all those things that I just named are really beautiful and they're free.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you'll see them, like if you watch kids, watch what they do automatically, you know, without trying to get rid of anything. I think they're just doing it. I mean, our kids from morning to night are usually singing something at the moment, and you put on music or something, and at some point my 4-year-old just starts to feel it, and then she's starting to move. I mean, it's adorable. Exactly. It's beautiful.
Well, yeah. And that's the other thing, being with kids and being with animals, that is a great way to stay present.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And take them and go out in nature and see what happens. Mm-hmm. I really do find that's some of the most beautiful time. If you can get out in nature and you can do that with your kids or with your pets, like you're just sort of adding layers of the benefits onto it.
Exactly.
Kaya, what is the new consciousness?
So the new consciousness, oh, so beautiful. So this is where we're going. And many of us are already well in our way into this new consciousness, and we're building new communities now, and it's more like a spiritual community, but there are new communities being built here on the world where we're helping each other. The new consciousness is a space where we share our gifts. So it's a space of understanding the beauty of who we are as humans, and understanding that each and every one of us comes here with so many gifts. When each of us are in our highest evolution as a human, when we've come into a grand stature of who we are, our gifts are profound. So your gifts, your wife's gifts, your children's gifts, they're all slightly different, but they're here to be shared and they're bountiful. So in the future, I don't see a lot of money being traded. I see the pure gift is I give from my heart this gift to you, and you go, oh, that's beautiful. Could I share this with my friend over here? And then all of a sudden, you see, we're taking care of each other. We're taking care of each other again. It gives me shivers.
Oh,
because
my gosh,
we're so far away from that right now. But that's where we're going. And you know, I watch my kids, Gord's and my kids. It's like they are, you know, they're young adults, and it's not easy for that age right now, you know, because there's been so much conditioning, but we are meant to be conscious. We are meant to be our highest evolution. And I can see them all going into that. And I'm just so, and I don't get involved. I allow them, that is their self-discovery, but they are part of that new movement where they're going to share. They're all very artistic and they're going to share with the world, and they're going to trust that the world is a good place. We've got a lot of work to do still. We need to be, you know, really truthful about that. We've got a long way to go, but there are many of us that are already doing this, and it's going to build because it's infectious too. When you meet someone that has a gift to give you and it's straight from the heart, that could change your life forever.
Yeah, it's really beautiful. It's something my wife and I have been really working with our local community around too. I really like the concept of a currency of care. So it's like, there will still probably be a place for different aspects of money and things like mm-hmm. this. But I really feel it's going to shift to something very different, because right now everything is based on that. And that's sort of the held value. But I really do think when we start to find, you know, right now we're constantly looking at like, how can we do things in a way that doesn't require using money? Can we, you know, barter, but it's really just in a very natural way of mm-hmm. like, oh, you need help with this? Yeah, I can help you with this, or we can do this, or I can share this. And then spontaneously something comes up from them. And it's a really beautiful way to, I think, to live and be in community. It's So that's something that we've been really actively, and I would encourage everybody out there, if that appeals to you, really look at where can you actually put it into action a little bit. How can you start to live like that, you know, and open it up with your community, and just you know, almost reminds me a little bit about growing up. And we grew up in a small town in the Okanagan, and our community, I felt like, was kind of like that a little bit more, you know. It wasn't much to go to the next door. The kids would, you know, go about five different neighbors, and I think my mom would randomly get a call, says, "Oh yeah, your kids are over here, and no worries. And we're giving them something to eat," or, you know, you'd get something from your garden, you go bring it over to the neighbor, and they'd help you with something else. Like, it was very, you know, we've kind of definitely gone away from that. And I think, we're going to move towards it in a way that I think is going to be much more than we've even ever experienced before.
Yeah, exactly.
So I look forward to being a part of that. You mentioned in the area around writing the truth that I think this is really important too, is why can being authentic sometimes create anxiety? Because this is something that's really important right now, because I really do feel like in a lot of ways we are all being called to act from that place of inner truth and inner guidance, but it's not always comfortable to do that. And I know myself, I've done many of these things where it does feel anxious inside. So maybe you can shine a light on that too, because sometimes I just want people to understand too, that when you do act from your truth, it's not always rainbows and butterflies all the time. And that there's growing pains with it as we come to it and we solidify more with it. So.
Yeah. And that, you know, it's really important to speak about, the challenges of, you know, being authentic and being true and being sovereign. And it's, the world right now, there's a lot of judgment, right? So there's a lot of judgment. So it could be internal judgment, like for ourselves. So we're judging ourselves. And was that actually true? And was that actually authentic? Did I do a good job? So we're judging ourselves. And then the outside world is highly in division right now and judgment. So to step out and, you know, use your voice, it takes practice. It definitely takes practice. Like for me, you know, my kids and Gord always would joke, because I was born without a shy, I don't have the shy gene. We called it the shy gene. But my friend Andrea said, you know, it's more like you don't have that fear. You're not afraid of being judged. And I think a lot of people, they're afraid of being judged. And that, all that means to me is that there's something inside, and it could just be about a past experience. It could be as simple as something that happened to you as a little kid when you were in the classroom and your teacher shamed you, you know, for doing something. And then you're holding on to that frequency. And it's a little thing that keeps generating inside of you. So even as an adult, when you speak up, it's like, oh, that piece of you that's still generating tries to pull you back and get you to remember that moment in time. But we don't want to do that anymore. We want to be so present that as you speak your truth, you get stronger. And your truth would never, when you speak and you're authentic, it doesn't hurt anyone. That's what I find too, is that when you're speaking from a place that, like, you're clear and you're in the space of love, it doesn't hurt people. There's a lot of things right now, when people talk, they it's very hurtful.
Yeah,
but it's a really low vibe. That's why. But if you're speaking your truth, some people might not like you. Like, there's lots of people I'm sure that don't like me, but that doesn't matter, because we're not meant to be liked by everyone. But the point is that we are meant to be able to speak our truth and be able to hold that for ourselves. It feels really good.
Yeah. Well, and I think when you speak your truth from that place of truth, and it doesn't hurt anybody, I think sometimes it might get people to reflect on things that maybe they're not comfortable with or they don't want to see. And then maybe it can be projected back out. Mm-hmm. But in the heart of it, when I hear that, or if I'm saying things and I know are connected to that, there's no judgment in it. It really is. And there's also no telling you, this is what you need to do, blank, blank, blank. If anything, it's actually providing a space for you to come back to your own home. You know, it's inviting that person to come back for them to actually connect in with their own truth. And then from that place, that's where you kind of decide, that's where they will decide what is the best course of action for them. It's more of like a bringing them back to them to find that in themselves.
Exactly. Yep. That's it.
Kaya, tenant three, come home to our brilliant self. So that sounds pretty beautiful. So tell us about our brilliant self.
So our brilliant self is that part of us. So where we all come from. So we all come from the same place as far as what I can tell, creation, creator, God. We all came from that place and we splintered off into fractals. And so our brilliant self would be as close to that deep remembering, but in human form. So we're human, we're here. Could we have that remembering of the purity of who we were? And purity doesn't mean goodness. It just means that we were clear. We were just shining our bright, so clear and true. And we were the closest thing to perfection. So our brilliant self here in human form, planet Earth right now, is having that deep remembering coming back into your heart that you are never ending, that you are here for a reason, and that brilliance is your birthright. It's actually your freedom and your brilliance is your birthright.
I love that you've reminded us that goodness versus our goodness is not necessarily purity.
Yeah.
This is something too that I think has been, there's a lot of stuff I feel like that's come up over the past 2-3 years that has just shaken a lot of our understanding up, and for good reason. And there's a lot of stuff in circles of even what I would call, you know, spirituality circles that I think needs to be shaken up a lot, because it's not what we often think it is. And sometimes we've attached these labels that you know, we'll talk about love in a little bit too, because I think some of these things have been so mixed up that they don't even resemble what the original frequency of what they were talking about is supposed to be. And purity would be something like that. I think we always have this picture of what this purity sort of looks like in this pristine goodness and everything, but it's, at least for me, it's reshaped so much from what my concept of these things were. There's aspects of it that are still true, but it's a part of something much grander. And it seems like this purity is just us coming more and more back home to embodying this, who we really are. And it's a really individual experience. And I think just going through these processes of experiencing it, you feel your life expand in everything in different ways. And then you sort of see how limited sometimes these other concepts were that we were trying to use as a pillar to abide by almost.
Yeah. There's a lot. I mean, if there's a lot of information and a lot of, like, you know, heaviness as you get into something there, that's a frequency. Like you're basically tapping into, there's a lot. You're getting pulled into something that doesn't feel like that lightness and that purity. You know, if you look at in a baby's eyes or even in an adult's eyes, that's really clear, the purity or the purity of a flower, you know, the purity of water, it's not good. It's not bad. It's just clear, you know? And I think that's what we're going for. And I think a lot of teachings, you know, have been corrupted in a lot of ways and twisted. And that's really what you're commenting on. And now we're getting back, the new consciousness is getting back to that original, you know, those original teachings that were on point, and they were actually really well documented. But, you know, so much has been misinterpreted now.
Mm-hmm. A good friend of ours who's a shaman out here, he talks about it as coming back to first light before distortion. So it's exactly. Kind of coming back, or he calls it the child of light. And it's coming back to the essence of that purity before things were distorted. And whether for intent or not intent or mistakes as far as how things get distorted, but it's been distorted in a lot of ways. And so I'm very curious to try and continually move back more and more to what really is real and pure, and then see what my life feels like from that place.
Yeah, exactly.
How is our brilliant self related with DNA?
So our original DNA, 12 strands is what I'm seeing. And it is just pure information. It's pure information to create the human in its highest incarnation. So So your brilliant self, the more you're able to clean up your DNA through frequency work, or there's other ways that we've talked about, the more your DNA will be in its perfection, what it was intended, and you can actually increase. So we go from two strands, and you could, and there's children these days being born with more strands activated. But really what we're doing here is we're reactivating our DNA. So we're going back to, and then what I'm seeing is you can go from 12 to 24, you can go to 48. Like, it's incredible what we're able to do. Like, we are now moving into expansion. So what we used to think, oh, wouldn't that be great to get to 12? Well, yeah, that would be great. But then we can actually even go from there further. Like, it's, there's no end to how far we can go in discovering our potential.
Yeah, that's how my understanding of it is too. When I started to understand what was going on with DNA, it was like, you know, 12. And it's like, well, no, and I know Huna says like 24, but it's like, it's because we technically are infinite, then it's like infinite. And it's just different layers of awareness and understanding. And so, I mean, I just think it's why it's so exciting. It's like,
yeah, I mean, that's the thing, is you can get really afraid right now, or you can shift perspectives and start getting really excited. So yes, we're not pretending that things aren't, like, things are quite challenging right now. So not for a second would we say that that isn't true, but it's also very exciting because it's a tremendous time of, you know, you can use challenging times to really catapult yourself. And so that's my mantra for myself, is like, everything that's challenging, I dig in even tighter and stronger, and I use it.
It's that squeeze that eventually cause, you know, it's like a lot of the stuff, standing in your truth, for example, just to take something like that, or being authentic, you know, it's simple, but it's also living in this world. It's not easy, right? So, and there's often like consequences, but it's so to me, when I see this stuff, it's all a part of this, almost this crucible. I really do think of it like the pressure on coal before it becomes a diamond. It sometimes needs the pressure for the beauty of it to actually expose itself.
Exactly. Yeah.
The next one is usher in an unimaginable peace. And you relate peace to freedom. So maybe you can talk a little bit about that. How is peace related to freedom?
So when you're clear, you become really neutral. And when you're neutral, you just, peace is the byproduct. You're just peaceful. And you are in the pocket. So things, you know, as things happen in your day, and it could be like a really tremendously active day, you're still able to stay in neutrality and in peace. And when you live in peace, you feel free. You feel free to make the choices that feel in alignment. They're not pulling you out of your peace or out of that neutrality. And so you're free. And so freedom is free. That's the other thing. It's like, it's not something that you have to pay for or give to. It's like, it's already, it is you. You already are free, but you just have to reactivate that part of yourself, that deep remembering. You have to dive back into that and say, oh, I was always free. You know, all those times that someone told me I wasn't, I was always free. So peace, neutrality, freedom, they're all that same beautiful frequency that if you can learn to generate that at all times, like, you know, you're going into surgery, you're going through, you know, a serious challenge of some sort. If you can learn to lock into that, it is amazing. You'll change the people around you as you're going through that hard time too. Like, you could even change someone's mind without even speaking to them, because all of a sudden they're starting to feel, wow, like they're starting to feel the peace within themselves. And they're like, why am I even doing this? Maybe we should just be friends, you know?
Well, I think that's when you talk about peace being powerful.
Yeah.
You know, I think from that place of inner peace. Well, and how I think of it too, when I was reading it, when you were talking about related to freedom, is when you, because a lot of times freedom is compromised in a lot of ways by ourselves based on the discomfort that maybe comes up around it. in some ways. So whether there's a fear that comes up in order to do things in a specific way that maybe feels free, particularly right now, I think there's lots of stuff around that people can feel around. So if you've got that inner sense of peace, then you're not getting those other feelings that are coming in that would maybe detract you. You can just very, very authentically move in a direction that feels free for you.
Yeah. You know, a tool I used at the beginning, and I need to explain it because initially it'll sound a bit strange, but when I was really starting to own my freedom and own my integrity and own all of that, as the conflicts would be around and stuff, it would be that I would say, like, I don't care. I have to live in my heart for this freedom, for my peace. But what we realize is that by me not caring, it was actually because I cared so much. Because I cared so much, I want to help people. And the way to help people is to get really strong in that deep remembering that you are free. So it was sort of like as the arrows would get flown around, because, you know, you get, there's challenges as you're going through the process of knowing who you truly are, because you've got to, you know, you've got to become that spiritual warrior inside. And so as those challenges come, you can't be worrying about everything that's happening outside of you. You've got to just keep diving in. You know, that saying, as you're going through hell, you just keep on going, like until you finally come into peace. And when you come into peace, you're never going to want to leave that. You are never going to want to leave that because it is who you are.
How does things like materialism and our concepts of what we really deem as being important change as we start to move more and more to this unimaginable peace?
Yeah. So what I've found is that you need a lot less. The clearer you become, you need a lot less because you're so filled up. Yet, if something is going to make your heart sing and be a beautiful expression of who you've become, that will come into your life. And there's nothing wrong with any of that. We are, just like we are free, we are abundant. Everything is here for us, but there's it gets blocked from us when we've got distortions around, you know, materialism. So I don't have a judgment. It's not good or bad, but you want to be really clear. So and that really is true manifestation. True manifestation is that would really fill me up right now. So you can have that experience, but it doesn't mean you have to collect 100 of them. It just means that you want to have that experience. It can come and it can go, but we would be comfortable with just having a backpack because we're filled up again. We're satiated in life. And so we don't need, but it's more of just a delight in life, because this life is beautiful. And these, you know, there's a lot of beauty here that we're here to enjoy. We are here to enjoy life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that was really well explained, because it is one of those things where a lot of times it's because we're so conditioned to kind of judging things in black and whites and mm-hmm. goods and bads and rights and wrongs and more moral and less moral and all these things. So money just becomes another one of those things where it's like, okay, well, then you need to basically let go of all of it and live in poverty or something along those lines. But I think what you're explaining, I think very well, is that you're really just solid and you really find that you're enjoying your life in such a larger diversity of ways that you could, and you're open to lots of different experiences with it. And it's not like you're requiring this and this and this in order to be okay. You can be okay with significantly less, and you can be okay with significantly more, and you're not really hung on to any one of them.
Yeah. And you don't get, you know, you don't get pulled into doing something for the wrong reasons, if that makes sense. Like, you really hold your ground. You become that pillar where it's like, that will, you know, if that temptation really disappears, you don't really have temptation anymore.
Mm-hmm. That's actually, I think, a really important part, that in that place, then you're not, you know, we were just reading a book called Avoiding Karma by one of our last guests, Guy Needler. And I was reading through that. And one of the things that he mentions in that was around not creating relationships for the purpose of what you can kind of get out of it, how it's going to benefit you. And, you know, it's a it's a tricky one because sometimes you can make friendships and then you can see where there's mutual benefit and there's different things, but there's definitely times where does that friendship or that relationship start because of how you can see how you can benefit one another, or can it just evolve really organically? But it was this idea of, you know, how many times do we have relationships purely because of what we think, how it's going to benefit us? And we're in a world where that is definitely, I mean, that's how we're even taught to go have, you know, marketing meetings where you go and meet and you're, you know, it's like set up for that. But he's kind of specifically saying we need to, that's sort of actually tying us very much to this physical world and tying us into karma in a lot of different ways.
Well, yeah. And then it's back to that whole idea of just sharing your gifts, like in friendship, that's what we're supposed to do is share our gifts, but it's from a high intention, you know, it's intentional.
Yeah. Next tenet is live to be free. So tell us a little bit about that. What does it mean to live to be free?
Well, when you're free, you feel safe and you know that wherever, so we could talk about these times of tremendous change. When you feel free, you march to the beat of your own drum. You really are an independent thinker. You have discernment, and you make choices that may not be what, you know, a large amount of the population is choosing, but you're guided by your heart, because your heart, what we talked about, you're naturally already free. So you're guided to stay in that space. So it just means that you're going to, in your day, you're going to do things that fill that space. So you're not going to do things that would pull you into restrainment or closure or, you know, feeling like you don't have choices. Freedom is about choices. You know, the freer you are, the more you see it. Really, we're just here and we have billions of choices. And when you feel free, you can make any choice at all and it'll be a good choice for you. Do you see what I'm like? There's no bad choices when you're free. So you could, you know, move away somewhere because you don't want to live here. But even if you stayed here, you'd still be free because that's who you are. So it's just about preferences at that point. You know, what do you prefer right now? So freedom allows you to just see all the possibilities. And then because of your delight or your preferences, you're going to choose what will allow you to express that.
How do you work with that when you are finding that place of freedom within yourself? So the inner world, you're doing the inner world work on finding that place of freedom. But then if the external world has very real restrictions on your personal freedom, what's the interplay with that? How do you work with that when you can feel very free on the inside, or you're connecting to that, yet there's very real restrictions on the outside world that might not allow you to express the freedom in the way that you would like to?
Yeah. So, you know, I think about people that they've spent, you know, decades in jail, or like they've been restricted in such a high, like a big sort of expression of what that would feel to be contained. And yet they were so in love and they were so filled up. You know, it's not about having to go to that extreme, but if your heart is free and you feel that, the outside world matters less. You know, yes, you can engage. And usually what happens is if you do feel free, you want to share that and you want to show other people that that's possible for them too. Like that's what happened to me is like, oh my gosh, I want to share this feeling because it's so good that no one should go through life having to suffer anymore. So it matters less about, like, we can even talk about the last couple of years. You know, some people were really bothered by the last couple of years, where I found with my family and I, it's like, our lives really didn't change very much because we don't need the same things perhaps that other people think we need. So, you know, if I have to be in a place that is not exactly a perfect setup, I know that it's not going to last. And I know that I'm safe and I'm good where I am and that I am free. So it's a construct that you just live from. And it's not, but having said that, also, if you are free, you will never be restricted. You could be for a little while, but that frequency of freedom will burn away any kind of control because it cannot exist. The higher frequency always overrides the lower frequency. So freedom overrides bondage. It just does. So something could happen for a little while as we go through a time of change, but freedom wins. It wins every time.
That's kind of what I was wondering was, because I know through different conversations where it usually ends up is it's this idea, and I firmly believe the principles of sort of like power versus force. A higher field mm-hmm. of consciousness will always win out over time. You see it over and over again. So I completely agree with that. I think where I'm finding different people are being pulled in maybe different ways around that as far as what that means. Some people are being pulled to then become maybe more outspoken about it. Some people are finding an inner place around that within their environment, right? I know sometimes what's come up is that how long is it okay to be, because you can find, I can find peacefulness in a lot of different places. Yet at the same point, I might feel that what's taking place in certain areas is not necessarily maybe in the highest good. Probably isn't the highest good if you kind of take it beyond certain parts, because it is sort of a catalyst for stuff. But I guess I'm wondering, however that catalyst pushes people, whatever that's going to cause them to want to do to find what that means within themselves, and maybe as we generate more of that frequency together, that is ultimately what's going to just transmute things.
Yeah, and we've all got different roles to play. I really believe that. Like, you know, you've got mm-hmm. some male warriors, you've got some, like some people, just like, you know, the art of war, it's like you've got some people on the ground, like really like hammering it out on the ground. And then you've got some people that are literally, they could be in their bedroom for 12 hours a day doing incredible work for humanity, you know, not speaking to a person. So it's just, there's not, again, using your gifts and using why you wanted to come here. What did you want to do? And then doing that in its highest, you know, mm-hmm. and no one will get hurt that way. You know, it is amazing to see. It's like, yes, people might get triggered, but not hurt.
Yeah. Well, I think it still comes back to what you're talking about, even with the truth. It's like, if we connect to what our own internal guidance system and personal instructions is sort of telling us individually at that point in time, what we need to do, mine might be a little different than yours or this person's, but it's like, it's all part of this master sort of divine intervention that's taking place.
Exactly. Yeah.
How do we sustain our frequency? So once we move up the frequencies, how do we start to stay more time there? And I guess one other question for that people might be curious about would be, when we are there, are we then not being triggered by other stuff? Do we not feel anger? Do we not feel fear? Do we not feel grief? Like, you know, when we're up here, is this stuff non-exist anymore? Or what's the relationship like for people so they have an idea of what that can be?
Yeah, that's a great question. So it does exist, but it exists. It's like emotions are there. We're human. We're meant to have emotions, but I literally see them. They come in and they move through you. It's like a wave. So you feel pain, like you see someone you love and you see some, so the pain comes in, but the pain doesn't stick because you're in presence. The pain rolls through you. And in fact, I would even say that the higher frequency, you might even feel a deeper pain, a deeper grief, a deeper, you know, bliss. But like, so all the different emotions, you still feel them, but they don't stick around, because that's the whole reason we're here. We want to feel emotions. We want to have that. So it's not that you're the almighty that doesn't, like, that you don't have any of these experiences. We do, but we don't lose ourselves in them. We stay really present and we're able to really help because we can see and feel what that person is going through. But we're able to hold that higher frequency and we're able to really pull the person up to other possibilities. We'll pull the person up. So, you know, if someone's going through a lot of pain, we could feel their pain, but we don't drop down to their pain. We say, I feel what you're doing up here. You know, we can feel pain, but we don't have to hold on anymore because that is not you.
Yeah. Beautiful. Well, and I think when you mentioned presence, it's, A lot of times what keeps the cycles going is the lamenting and the ruminating and the thoughts. So if you're present, you're not really getting caught up in all of that. So you can actually allow literally like the neurochemistry of emotion to kind of be done. Mm-hmm. And through the process of feeling fully, I think that's what burns it off. That's sort of what metabolizes that emotion. So it's not there to sort of sit. And then you're not generating more because you're staying present. So
yeah, you really become an open conduit. Like you're just, your brain, like everything is just, you're here. You're just here. So something comes, you're really available to it because you're not going to judge it. You're just going to be able to, you're going to be able to see it for what it is and just work with that.
And then when you mention for the next tenant, live inside the simplicity platform, what do you mean by that?
So that's a space that probably about 3 years ago now, I was driving down to New York City to pick my daughter up. And I was driving through all the mountains and, you know, really coming into this body of knowledge and really coming into this work and, you know, seeing the pitfalls of how other people have done it before and, you know, all the spiritual teachings and how, and I was like, how do you stay safe in the awakening process when you're coming into clearing up everything and striking that really high frequency? How do you sustain it, Kaya? And like you as a teacher, how are you going to be able to do that? And then for everyone else. And then I heard it's a platform, Kaya. It's literally a platform that is at a certain, so imagine Mount Everest, you know, there's base camp. There's a place that you get to in your evolution. So the simplicity platform, it's like in the quantum field, but it's this place that you get to where you can stay there and you can go through the processes of awakening, the process of a really cleaning up and coming back into your heart. And you're going to be stable there and you're not going to get pulled back down into, you know, the heavy sort of constructs of this reality. You're going to be able to really understand yourself. It's like a space of quiet where you can be, learn about yourself. And it's like a safe haven and it's real. And it's always been here from what I was shown. It's like, this space has always been here and that's where I teach from. So when I teach people, I'm teaching from that space. So it's beyond this construct and people will talk about how they really start to understand. The deeper they get into this process, they understand that space. And it's a jumping off point of creation. So from there you can become anything you want.
You also talk about the role of courage in the process. So I'm wondering how you define courage. And from my understanding too, from a lot of the work that Dr. David Hawkins did, he talked about courage being the essential step where we actually, that was the step where you stepped over what was basically anti-life into what was pro-life in many ways. And that was sort of the step. We had to get past that. And he said, humanity as a whole, the more that we kind of move over that step, then we can move into all of these different higher levels of consciousness or higher different frequency states. But that's such an important one to arrive at. How do you find courage and how do you define courage?
So I think it goes back to when I was explaining, when I say, I don't care, that's the courage. That's the courage, is having the tenacity to stay true to what you're becoming aware of. Having the tenacity to hold on to the truth and walk, you know, talk and be in that space. It takes courage. And so that, you know, the movie Braveheart, you know, your heart is free, have the courage to follow it. It's like really having the courage to stick to who you are. You know, the world will, if you do that, that's one healed person walking free in courage. And you'll see that courage, again, is just a natural, it's a byproduct of coming back into your heart. You're naturally courageous. You're naturally kind. You're naturally loving. You're naturally free. You're all the good things.
And you've definitely become a mirror for other people to be able to step into their courage too. Whenever I see people that are, you know, living in their courage, it's inspiring. You know, you feel it in your body and it makes you want to be able to rise up to do the same sort of things.
Yeah, it's infectious. The higher frequencies, you know, it's exactly like that. It's like, learn just by example, you know, someone just watching from the side, you can learn so much. You know, that's really what I think we're meant to be as parents. We're meant to be examples for our children. That's it. And just, you know, so I'm very, very cognizant of how I represent in front of my children. Yeah.
Oh, they totally know. It's like, yeah. It's definitely not what you, it's not even what you do. You know, yeah. It's ultimately who you are. Because yes. I can do things. And if I'm not totally there, my kids know, and they'll call me on it. It's more like if I'm embodying it, then I know they're feeling all of it. Because I just think they tap into everything sort of unconsciously. So.
Yeah. And they don't even need to comment on it because that's their natural state. Right. So you're just doing what you're meant to be doing. So yeah. There's no comment. Well, of course, you're just doing what's right.
Yeah. Have kids. They'll keep you honest.
Yeah.
If you want to listen. And the last tenet, Kaya, is embody the lightness of being. So what is the lightness of being?
So that is pure consciousness. That is when you're back to the glory of who you were before you splintered off. You are back into, I call it godlings. You know, you are a godling. And I'm just getting very tingly even just talking about this because that's where we're all going. And it is just so incredible. We're all going at our different speed, different pace, but that is ultimately who we are.
Well, and I think these tenets are sort of the template to help us arrive there individually on our own time. So Kai, I think that's beautiful. I really loved going through all of those with you. And I think each one of those is really profound. And if people take the time to actually run through that, really honestly kind of run through it and live it, put it into action in their life, I can't see how you can't do that and not transform your life.
Yeah.
Kaya, thank you so much. Where can people learn more about the work you're doing, the online course you're doing, your book? Where can we send people to learn more about you?
Yeah, so I think the best place is thesimplicityplatform.com. And then also Instagram, it's the Kaya Usher. And all my classes, my immersion class, which is beautiful, it teaches the eight tenets and it runs all year long. It's 8 weeks long. And then we take 3 weeks off to integrate. But you know, I don't even know, like, I think we've done it half a dozen times now and people keep coming back because you keep diving in deeper. And so there's no prerequisite. It's like, it's just, do you want to know yourself? And you can just jump in. So the book, everything, the music, everything is just at the website.
I'll make sure I've got all of those links in the show notes. And any final words for the audience before we finish up?
Yeah, I just want to say that touching on what we talked about earlier, there is nobody that can't come home to their brilliant self. What I can see, there's nobody that can't do that. We're all here right now. We've chosen to be here. We can come back home. We can heal ourselves, whatever it is. We don't have to suffer anymore. It's a process. You've got to want it, but it is well worth it.
Kaya, thank you so much. Really enjoyed that conversation.
I did too. It was amazing to meet you, and I'm sure we'll meet again another time.
Yeah.